Welcome to A World Powerfully Transformed, a new podcast from Unity on Cape Cod. We are creating community, celebrating love, and transforming lives. In this special series, we will bring you exciting, positive spiritual teachings, as well as thought-provoking interviews with guests from a diverse spectrum of the greater community. Now let us join Reverend Tony for this week's presentation.
Welcome to the Unity on Cape Cod podcast. I'm Reverend Tony Cryer, the spiritual leader here at Unity on Cape Cod. We are part of Unity Worldwide Ministries, which has a vision of a world powerfully transformed by the growing movement of our shared spiritual awakening. Each week, I will be bringing you special guests, and we'll be talking about current issues and topics that are impacting our lives and how we can take a spiritual approach to transforming our world. So welcome. Come on in. Welcome back, everyone, and happy holidays from Unity on Cape Cod. This holiday season, we are celebrating the birth of the Christ in us. I've heard it said that Charles Fillmore's favorite scripture was Colossians 1:27, which reads, "The Christ in you is your hope of glory." It is important to note here that I refer to the Christ as a spiritual principle or substance of mind that is in you, rather than a single person, Jesus. Many people equate the word Christ with an individual person, referring to Christ as the person rather than the principle he or she embodies. This is a very important distinction for those of us on the path of new thought, because it allows for the birth of Christ consciousness in every individual. The birth of the Christ consciousness in us. Now, what do I mean by Christ consciousness? That word is very casually thrown around about in our New Thought circles, in our Unity communities. But there are extremely few who are willing to take a look at the depth of commitment involved, attaining a realization and a demonstration of the Christ mind. One of the classic Unity authors, Elizabeth Sands Turner, wrote a book entitled Your Hope of Glory. And what she said is that we are confused at first when we receive spiritual inspiration. We're confused between the Christ and our personality. We want to take credit for the Christ in us instead of giving the glory to Spirit. So Elizabeth Sands Turner writes, "We are confused when we first receive spiritual inspiration. In the initial stage of our spiritual awakening, we are not aware of what is happening. It is different from any experience we have ever had. If we will be still, reassurance will come, because we are to be receptacles for the outpouring of Spirit. We are to bring good into visible form." And she also writes in the foreword to this book, "What is the secret of Jesus's enduring influence? One basic reason is that humans are spiritual beings, right? And we are drawn to a person or being that is expressing their spiritual nature." Elizabeth writes, "One basic reason is that humans are spiritual beings made in the image and the likeness of God. Everyone may not be aware of this, but we instinctively respond to the one whose word and act was evidence of his divinity. The voice of our divine self may be faint. We may even deliberately close our ears to it. Yet it continues to sound within us and ever urges a climb to higher ground. Jesus is one who made this ascent to higher ground. And by our spiritual kinship, or I would say identification with him, we are drawn to him. And we're also drawn to that higher ground. There is much more to allowing the Christ consciousness to be born in us than merely being a nice person. I'm speaking, of course, again. It's more than just caring for others. It's more than just having a positive attitude or manifesting all your human desires. Truly birthing and growing the Christ consciousness in you requires a complete and total surrender to the Spirit of God within. Many have devoted their lives to the Spirit of God without the God out there. And that's an important factor as well. That's a step. However, it cannot be complete until your focus is on what is going on within. It cannot be complete with focus only on one side of the equation. You have to have above and below, within and without, the yin and the yang. They both must be honored equally to give birth to the Christ in you and bring forth the glory, or what I like to call your magnificence, into the world. A Course in Miracles says that the world you see is an outward expression or projection of an inward condition. So my question to you today and in this holiday season is this. When your inner realm of mind is saturated in Christ consciousness, full of light and glory and grandeur, what do you think your outward expression will look like? When your inner realm of mind is saturated in Christ consciousness, divine ideas, full of light and glory and grandeur, you can just imagine what your outward expression in the world that you live in will look like. The Christ consciousness is not limited to one person or one religion or one spiritual practice or one philosophy. It is a constant inner attitude. As we turn our focus toward the spiritual side of life, to constantly consider the bigger picture, to look at things as God looks at them, rather than the perspective of a separate, limited being. For although we may seem limited in our body form, we will remain unlimited in our spiritual reality. And that goes for no matter what your outward condition may appear to look like right now. Your inner realm is saturated in Christ consciousness. And I believe our only purpose then is to identify with that. Now, Charles Fillmore also, he was great at defining terms that we have misdefined throughout the ages. We have defined in limited ways. He had a great knack for expanding the mind through, I would say, more thoughtful definition of these terms. So in the Revealing Word, he says that Christ is the incarnating principle of the God-man, or I would say God in man. The perfect word or idea of God, which enfolds or evolves into the true person and is blessed with eternal life and measures up to the divine standard. Christ is the divine man. Simply put, Christ is the divine person. When you are realizing your divine nature, when you are demonstrating your divine nature, you're acting from Christ's consciousness. And Christ abides in each person, abides in everyone, in each person as his or her potential perfection. Jesus Christ was the embodiment of all the divine ideas and exists eternally in the mind of being. But if we go back and look at Jesus, Jesus is the name that represents an individual expression of the Christ idea. Christ existed long before Jesus. It was the Christ mind in Jesus that exclaimed, "And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was made." So that glory that we are speaking of was with us, was what we were made of, and it existed before the world was made. If we can try to get that into our hearts and minds, that we are being reborn into a spiritual identity, but an identity that we had before the world was made, that we have an eternal spirit, that we are truly spiritual beings. And I know this is a big step for a lot of people to take, because we experience ourselves in a limited way, but we can train our minds to accept little by little more of the truth that we are spiritual. In the Five Principles, Ellen Davenport wrote in the chapter entitled, "You Are God." It's about the second principle. She wrote, "Over the years, I have come to a visceral understanding," meaning an experience, that experience that Elizabeth Sands Turner wrote about that you've never had before. It's like nothing else. It's a visceral understanding that spirit is who I truly am, as the image and the likeness of God, and that I have all the attributes of God latent within me. Knowing that I can rely on this divine self is not an exaggerated sense of my own powers. It is just the opposite. It is humbly turning to the divine within for insight and wisdom. It is discovering God to be closer than breathing and nearer than my hands and feet. The point of spiritual growth, then, is to know myself as spirit and express it in my life. That is the point of spiritual growth. It is living from the Christ within, making decisions from the higher self, loving with unconditional and inexhaustible energy of the divine, contributing to the well-being of the planet. It is to express effortlessly who we truly are. That's from the Five Principles. And I would say that this is the birth of a new consciousness. Although the principle is within us, latent within us, all the power of God, all the knowledge of the universe, and the ability to be perfectly present at every point in space-time, that we can embody the presence of the Spirit of God, this presence of Christ. We can embody the divine. It still needs to be born in our consciousness before it can be possible to be manifest in our world. So I'd like to read in closing from the message from the minister from Unity on Cape Cod, December 2020, the birth of a new consciousness. Christmas season is here once again, and once again it is time to welcome the birth of the Christ consciousness in us. It is not a new idea that the divine nature of Christ lives in each and every individual. But it is a revolutionary idea that the consciousness of Christ can become the dominant mind in our world. As early as the 13th century, Meister Eckhart wrote, "Every creature, every man, woman, and child has a soul, and it is the destiny of all to see as God sees, to know as God knows, to feel as God feels, to be as God is." What better way to celebrate the birth of Jesus than to allow the mind that he used to be our mind as well? Let that mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. What better way to honor your spirit than to actually live in the consciousness of spirit rather than acting from the illusion of separation? And that has been our dominant mind, hasn't it? To act from that limited consciousness of separation. But Meister Eckhart, you know, since the 13th century, was telling us that it is our destiny to see as God sees, to know as God knows, to feel as God feels, and to be as God is. These are not new ideas, but it will be new and revolutionary if we can make it the dominant mind in our world. Even if we are one in truth, if we are acting as if we are separate, that will be our truth and our seeming reality. We can know intellectually the real truth of our being and the true nature of reality, but if we do not practice living from that truth, we can go right back to attack and defense as our default reaction to the world and to our brothers and sisters as well. A Course in Miracles has a wonderful reminder in the workbook. It says, "I am affected only by my thoughts." The birth of a new consciousness would therefore necessarily come from thoughts aligned with truth and focused on the reality of our true being, our eternal, loving nature. This nature is the ground of our being. It's the essence of humanity. Despite all other claims opposing this fact, our true nature is love. Our true nature is God. Our true nature is Christ consciousness. We are predisposed towards cooperation, not competition. We are destined to discover our oneness and our dependence upon one another. And we cannot continue to destroy one another and our world and still hope to survive as a species. The Christ consciousness has to become the dominant mind in us and in our world. If our thoughts create the world we see and the emotional response to the world as well, a rebirth of the Christ consciousness is just what the doctor ordered. Some of you might remember this humorous but very poignant story. A friend of mine who had a mysterious illness, a pain around his heart that would not go away, this dull, constant pain. He went from doctor to doctor seeking a remedy. He underwent several medical tests and was prescribed countless numbers of pills. but that dull and constant pain seemed to never go away. Until one day he saw an old friend who had become a small-town doctor in the rural community where my friend grew up. He asked his doctor friend if he could prescribe something for his condition. After examining, he said, "There's only one thing that can cure your illness, and that is love." Excuse me. Love is the best medicine. Go out and love yourself and be loved. My friend said, "Well, doctor, what if it doesn't work?" And the doctor looked him in the eye and said, "Well, my friend, you'll have to increase the dose." And this Christmas season, may we remember that we have to increase the dose of love. We have to increase the dose of love that we administer to ourselves and to all the world, and give birth to a new and magnificent level of Christ consciousness growing in us, flowing through us, and demonstrated as us. This is the greatest gift that we can give to the world and to ourselves, the gift of our growing Christ consciousness. Thank you, one and all. Have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, each and every one, for tuning in to this special edition of A World Powerfully Transformed, a Unity on Cape Cod podcast. If you would like to support this program or find out more about Unity on Cape Cod and our Sunday services, please visit our website, unityoncapecod.org, or stop by our spiritual center at 147 Walton Ave in Hyannis, Mass. We would love to get to know you. Be blessed and remember to be a blessing. This podcast was made possible in part through a grant from Unity Worldwide Ministries and the Templeton Foundation.